and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group, and with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. How about you, Eric?
I'm doing fantastic.
Like midsummer right now. 85 degrees on Easter yesterday. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, we're having a nice warm spell here, which is great because it follows a cold spell. So, you know, all evens out.
Absolutely. Mother Nature.
So this week, we're going to be talking about building an innovative mindset and how you can be innovative in your day-to-day life and in your business or your career. And I think the first thing that we need to do is talk about what innovation is. Because a lot of people, you say innovation, and they immediately think technology. And while technology is a very innovative industry, innovation doesn't have to be technology-based. Innovation is really just taking two ideas that might not have seemed to fit together and finding a connection to do something a little better, a little faster, a little higher quality.
Yeah, innovation is, it just leads to progress. And there's so many ways to get to that. And I mean, you mentioned the technology side of things, and technology sometimes is a hindrance to that because you get brainwashed with all the things that we're exposed to media-wise and whatever. And there's this quote, it might have been from Seinfeld or something like that, but we live in an age of gushing information through 1,000 portals every second. And it says our brains are like buckets. If we fill them with the latest Facebook updates and 100 funny cat videos, we're leaving less room for our creativity to flourish. And that's what innovation is all about, is creativity.
Absolutely. There's actually been a series of articles written by numerous people about how Google is actually killing innovation. Because over the course of mankind's history, innovation has always come because somebody had information in their head and they saw something or they were introduced to something new and they were able to match it with that information they had in their head and make the connection that created the innovative leap. With Google, people aren't keeping facts in their head anymore. They're not remembering because they know, oh, well, if I need to find it, I can go to Google and look it up. So without keeping those facts in the head, you're not seeing those innovative leaps that you used to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important to just take some time to yourself and think, you know, wonderment, just a sense of discovery, being childlike. You know, basically, if you look at kids, they're always saying, what about this? What about that? Whatever. They're little innovators. It's just so cool. And the bottom line is, once you have these ideas, if you want to find some information about it to help you along the way, obviously Google is a great resource to look stuff up because that's what the web is. It's just all the information at your fingertips in the world. But you gotta dream, you gotta write things down, you gotta be working on things constantly outside of this wonderful world of technology that we have here.
Exactly. And you actually hit on something very important. An innovative mindset is really a childlike mindset. It's looking at things for the first time and going, well, why is it being done this way? Can I do it better? What happens if I add these two things together?
Yep. It's childlike curiosity. I mean, you look at little babies that all of a sudden start walking in this and that and exploring things. I mean, if you just look at them, the way that they just look at things and are curious and so on and so forth, that really is the foundation of innovation, is curiosity.
Right. It's, you know, it's looking at what's there and seeing it in a different way. there was a movie many years back, I'm sure everybody's familiar with, the Dead Poets Society, where Robin Williams plays a teacher at a boarding school. And one of the things he has his students do is stand on their desks to give them a different perspective of the class. And that's very important in innovation, is looking for that different perspective. When you see something over and over again the same way, you take it for granted. When you change that perspective and look at something differently, you can find different uses for it, different ways to do things. So you always have to keep asking, how can I do this better? Why am I doing it this way? Why is a key question in innovation? Because if you're asking why we're doing something this way, and the only answer is because this is how we've always done it, there's probably a better way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is one of the most powerful words in the world as far as really going from point A to point B in any way. It's just why, if you answer that question and continue to ask that, that's how you have progress. That's how you get answers. So that's really, really important. Glad you brought up that word.
Yeah, it's very important. We have to keep looking at things, figuring out what it is we're really trying to get out of them and finding better ways to do it. And there's a couple of things you can do. I actually did an exercise a couple of months back that I found called Tourist in My Own Life. And what that is just with the camera on my phone, as I went through my day-to-day life doing the same things I always do, I would take pictures of objects, places. But the key is to take the picture as though you've never seen it before, like you're a tourist. Take it from a different angle. And then you can play with all the filters and whatever. You can play with the pictures to make it more different, you know, even more different than what you actually saw. Bring out shadows that you didn't notice. Bring out lights that you didn't notice. And it gives you a new perspective on places and things that you see every day and sort of gets your mind ready to see things differently. I found this to be a great exercise. You could do it for a day. You could do it for a week. I know a couple people who've actually done it for a month. But it's a great way to reset your expectations and not take things for granted.
Yeah, that sounds really, really cool. I mean, we've talked about mindfulness before, and I mean, that's really just going out and observing things and just seeing the wonder and everything out there. Go out there and take a walk and just observe nature, and there's a whole lot of other things you can do out there, but it's just as you said, it's the way that you look at things as opposed to just going through your day-to-day habits where you just automatically do this and you automatically do that.
That's it, you know. When you start paying attention to different things, you notice different things. Like here in Connecticut, in the metropolitan areas, there are tons of bike racks around. Places where you can park your bicycle. 90% of the people never notice them. So I decided one day I went out just looking for where these bike racks were. And I found bike racks that I had passed hundreds of times without ever noticing they were there. We go through life, you know, focused on what we have to do and what, you know, what we're doing. And we're missing out on everything around us. And to build that innovative mindset, we have to take a look at all that other information, all that other stuff around us to see, oh, okay, you know, traffic in this area is lousy, takes me forever to drive through. You know what? If I took a bike through, I could get through it in 2 minutes. And look, there's bike racks all around. It's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's a great way to move around. They're even in the rural areas here. I mean, I live out in the country a little bit, and you can grab a bike here, driving from one place to the other along the Farmington River, it's just really, really amazing. So, and just as you said, things get so congested that if you do that, you can get to places easier, and it's a great way to just explore things. Because unlike in a car in the middle of the street, when you see something, you can pull over on the side of the road with a bike and just look at things.
Right. But, you know, the important thing is to do things differently and get different information and new information that you didn't have before. And a big part of that is breaking out of ruts. When you break out of the day-to-day, you'll see new things, have new ideas. And sometimes this can be as simple as, you know, getting out of the office in the middle of the day and going to work at a coffee shop that you don't usually go to. See who's around. See what's going on. You need to refresh your mind. Your mind gets exhausted doing the same thing over and over again. It falls into that pattern where what you're doing is very easy because out of sheer repetition, your brain has actually created very strong pathways to do this over and over again. But it also loses something in innovation because you're not reaching out. You're not going elsewhere. You're not looking at new things. And so those other pathways aren't being used. So it's very important to keep stimulating your mind so you can come up with innovative ideas. And again, most people think of innovation as these huge leaps forward. Most innovation is done in tiny steps. It's doing one thing a little better, a little faster, a little cheaper than you could have done it before.
Yeah, it all starts with ideas, with little ideas. And a couple of things that you can do. Number one, carry around a sheet of paper or journal and just write things down as they come to your mind. Like you're talking about having your Tourist in My Own Life day where you're taking pictures and so on and so forth, but just jot these things down. And then one of the other things you can do is, you know, you get stuck in your habits on a day-to-day basis. You also get stuck in your habits as far as the way you talk to fellow people, maybe at the office or out in public and so on and so forth. Why don't you talk to them about some innovative ideas, share new experiences, and, you know, ask that question, what's new, and so on and so forth. I always like to walk up to people sometimes, look at them and say, so what's new and what's cool? And if they say nothing, I say, well, make something up.
Right.
Interesting. So, and it's a great way to stimulate things. And, you know, we've talked about the power of masterminding and so on and so forth. You come up with these ideas and you start running them by other people. That's how sparks start flying and innovation starts. But as you said, innovation is just the result of a series of a whole bunch of small ideas that go to fruition in results based upon working on them over a period of time.
Right. And by exposing yourself to new ideas or even things you already knew but don't think about on a regular basis, your mind can make connections to come up with ideas. I have right now in my office on my whiteboard a formula. And it looks like a mathematical formula, but it's not really. I just use that form. But it's a business model. It's a formula for business success that's based on the structure of an atom. And it came to me one day when I was listening to an audiobook about famous scientists and the beginnings of quantum physics and all of the fights that had gone on between scientists. And as I'm listening to this information about how the universe is built on the structure and atom and all of that, the parallel came to me about the structure of an atom and the structure of a business. And I started jotting it down. And every once in a while, I go back to it and I add a little more to it or go, well, this doesn't really work. But it's a completely different, at least for me, different way of looking at business. And it came to me because I was listening to something completely unrelated to business.
Yeah, it's just the power of creativity and taking a look at things in different ways, like you were saying. But visualization, if you can just take something and put it down on paper in a visual format with just bullets or whatever, as opposed to writing down a whole bunch of things, it's a great way to visualize things. And obviously, it's easier to manipulate, like you're talking about. The first time may not work, but maybe if you move this here, it does.
Exactly. That's why I love my whiteboards. I have three whiteboards around my desk that I can just jot stuff down on, wipe them off, redo it, move things around. Two of the three are magnetic, so I can stick things on them. And being able to visualize that way is a great way to stimulate the mind. I also have in my office what I call my creativity shelf. And on this shelf is just a bunch of random things that can be put together. So it's pieces of styrofoam, pieces of cloth, some magnets, and it's all things that you can just build stuff out of and then take it apart and rebuild it. And, you know, there's some Lego pieces there, because every once in a while, I'll start, you know, I need something to stimulate my mind. I'll pull stuff off that and just start putting things together in random configurations and see where it leads me.
That's pretty interesting. Do you have pictures of those too? I'd love to see some of those.
I don't have pictures of those. Most of the stuff I take apart when I'm done with it and put it back on the shelf, you know, for next time. But yeah.
No, that sounds awesome.
And I mean, you can do this with anything. There are actually, if you go into most toy stores or art stores, they'll have little kits where it's just a whole bunch of stuff together for you to, you know, put together. And they work great. I've done exercises with classes where I've given everybody little bits of Lego. And they've used Lego to, you know, to build stuff and figure out, you know, solutions to problems.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the history of Lego, I mean, when we were kids, you just had a box full of these things and you built things out of it. And then they progressed to you could buy a kit that made a building or made a dinosaur and this and that, and whatever. And now you see these, they have Lego Fest all over the country where they have huge, huge things with, you know, hundreds of thousands of pieces and so on and so forth. And it's just amazing. And the building blocks are just simple little pieces of plastic.
That's it. And if you've seen some of the Lego sculptures, it's amazing what they can build out of these blocks.
Yeah, one of the advantages we have living here in Connecticut is Lego is actually located right up here in Enfield.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever been up there, but if you walk in the lobby, they have this big old, call it a huge sandbox full of Lego things, where if you have kids with you, they can just go in and play with this stuff as you walk in. It's one of the most fun places in the world to walk into that office. All these Legos here and, you know, the latest sculpture sitting in there. But it's just, it's amazing. And it's just a simple little thing. And through innovation, you can create really marvelous things.
Yeah, it's, you know, taking pieces, putting them together differently is how the stuff comes up. And now, I mean, in terms of materials, there are so many things you can get very inexpensively to help you visualize different ways. I mean, we've talked about Lego. I mean, growing up, we had Lego, we had Tinker Toy, we had Lincoln Logs, you know, all of these different building sets, Erector sets. Well, they're all still available, but now they do so much more. They have robotic components. There's something called Raspberry Pi, which is actually a tiny computer chip with an operating system built onto it. And you can use these, and they're very inexpensive, and you use these computer chips to create miniature robots, drones, You know, if you have an idea for a product, you can use these to, you know, quickly prototype something. Now we've got places down in New Haven, Connecticut. There is a place, I'm blanking on the name of it. It's like MakerBot or Maker Place, something like this, where you can go and print things out on a 3D printer and assemble, and they'll help you figure out how to create your idea.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. 3D printing is something that's really incredible too. And I was actually, as you know, I do a lot of work with Central Connecticut State University's Institute of Technology and Business Development, and they actually have a 3D printing lab there. And they work with TRIO students, teaching them 3D printing and other applications. And they actually did a few applications where they implemented building things with the Raspberry Pi to do this and that, whatever. But the 3D printing thing, talk about innovation. It's just a way to solve issues and problems and so on and so forth by formulating it that way and then putting it into practice. It's just, it's an amazing technology. And it's all innovation.
That's it. So there are so many ways, both old and new, to take your ideas and bring them to life and look at them in a different, you know, from a different point of view, with a different perspective. But the key to it all really starts with you. It's about your mindset and your willingness to be creative. You know, one of the things that all great innovators have in common is that they don't worry about making mistakes. Mistakes will happen. Bad ideas happen. Failures happen. Thomas Edison famously said he didn't have 99 failures when trying to build the light bulb. He found 99 solutions that didn't work. Yep. And that, you know, that led him to what finally did work.
Yep. I mean, we've talked about perspective before, and it's exactly how you look at things. So it's really, really important to take a look at things as a step in the right direction, because you are always one step closer to a success. And and the other thing that we've talked about a lot is just working on yourself. And I'm not saying sitting down and saying, okay, I'm going to innovate for an hour, but take some time out to just sit there, relax, meditate, and so on and so forth. And some of the best ideas that you're going to have are going to come to you while you're doing that or while you're out for a walk and so on and so forth. But it's just so important to decompress, get away from all of the crazy world stuff that we have right now as far as the media and everything else, and do that, because that's where the best ideas come from.
Exactly. You can't just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to be innovative. Innovations generally come to you through making these connections. So it's the aha moment when you least expect it that causes that innovative thought. You have to be open to that, but you also have to be prepared for it. You have to be absorbing all sorts of information. And I'm not talking about the stuff that we're bombarded with in the media every day. I'm talking about actual, you know, scientific facts about nature, facts about how things work, engineering, physics, things like that, because you don't have to be a physicist. You don't have to be a great engineer to have a basic understanding of how the things work and be able to go, wait a minute, if that works that way, why doesn't this work this way? And that one question, that one connection that you make puts you in that innovative mindset. It takes you from this is how things are to this is how things can be.
Yeah, it circles right back to our curiosity and discovery page that we were talking about to begin this. I mean, it is a circle just like everything else.
Yep.
So it's just a lot of it's just the observing things, then researching things a little bit if things interest you and so on. It's when you're reading that book, flipping over that page thing because there's something interesting on that page that you want to go back to. That's what it's all about, is instead of just cruising through it, just observing it and having some really, really positive, curious reactions to things.
That's it in a nutshell. It is so important to expose yourself to new things. And, you know, just because you know something doesn't mean you can't learn more about it. I don't remember who said it, but there was an old quote that says, you know, it's not what you don't know that gets you. It's all the things you're absolutely sure of that just aren't so. We're exposed to so much, but things change. I mean, I talk about this with my kids periodically. When I was in school, we had 9 planets, because Pluto was a planet. We learned all about brontosauruses, dinosaurs. And then, well, Pluto was not a planet. They made a mistake. There was no such thing as a brontosaurus. And then later on, they went, oh, no, we didn't actually make a mistake. There is a brontosaurus. So actual scientific facts that I learned in school changed over time. So just because you know something doesn't mean it's always going to be true. So we're coming up on the end of our time today. So, Chip, what do you think is a big takeaway that you want our listeners to have from today's conversation?
Take every moment like you used to when you were a child and just be a little bit more curious about things or appreciative of things and so on and so forth. Put some more wows into your life to spur your innovation.
That's fantastic. I think my big takeaway is I'm going to steal a line from Steve Jobs and Apple, and it's think different. Don't do things the way you always did it just because you always did it that way. Find new ways to do things and find new things to do. The more you do that, the more innovative you can be. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us here every week on blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the iTunes Store and the Apple Podcasts app. Remember, make this your best week ever and make next week even better. See you then.